we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew. Goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what is now called, once again, Fort Benning. And then, oh yeah, big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, I gotta wrap my comments real quick because literally right as I'm coming back on the air, a tweet just popped in from Dakota Meyer, the Medal of Honor winner I told you who just reenlisted, and it's pretty interesting. So I'm gonna conclude my last dipper with the way I started it, and that was the reenlistment of Sergeant Dakota Meyer, U.S. Marine Medal of Honor winner. He says, last week I had the honor to reenlist in the U.S. Marine Corps and serve my country again. The biggest question has been why. The answer is this, he said, because I love this country with every moral fiber of my being and I have more to give. I don't expect everyone to understand it, but I do know some will. He said, there hadn't been a single day in the last 15 years where I didn't wake up wanting to serve again. I believe once you've been in the fight, you just don't walk away from it. You might hang up the uniform, but the desire to serve inside of you doesn't go away. Now I get to step back in, not to start over, but to finish what I started. To my fellow Marines, he says, to my brothers and sisters in service, to anyone out there still willing to believe in something greater than themselves, I'm truly honored to stand by you again. That's a great way to end Semper Fi. All right. Thank you, Sergeant Meyer. We appreciate you. All right. Tell you what, let's jump on in here. I fully expect the sound effect to get worn out with this one. We're going to be talking about some deportation jackassery. Yeah, no, I haven't had the opportunity to use that sound effect much in the last few months, have I? It just, which is refreshing in a way.
Yeah, but whenever we have it is in regards to something the left's doing in response to Trump's winning.
And these are typically official actions or things that have been discovered in the course of dealing with official actions. Deportation of jackassery. So, all right. Let me get some words out. First of all, I gotta touch on the back. So, deportation. First of all, listen. Charlene and I were talking about this. I'm trying to think how she phrased it, but she said, "I think you need to acknowledge that the greater part of Americans are frustrated with the way things are going," and that's fair. I agree with that. I think she's right. She nailed it. That we're absolutely frustrated because we voted for something to happen, and then now we're being told that what we know can happen and should be allowed to happen is not able to happen. Why is that? Well, liberals hate it when conservatives do anything. And I want to remind you that there was zero due process required for these vast millions of illegals to stream into our country. Zero due process required. Come one, come all. In fact, we'll even give some of y'all the plane tickets. And then, oh, by the way, we'll even make it easier. And then, oh, by the way, we won't stop you at the border. We'll just let you come in. And then we'll even give you a bus ticket and take you where you want to go. Where would you like to stay? And then some of the states and cities around the nation are giving free stuff and just going bankrupt just to take care of people who've never been here to contribute to the system whatsoever. It's maddening. Meanwhile, you got veterans' homes that are crumbling. That being said, the amount of calls for due process for one man, Kilmer Abrego Garcia, I'm almost sick of talking about him, but it's all the Dems can talk about, and since they're still on it, I guess I'll continue too. I got a piece in the Daily Wire. Senator Chris Van Hollen, he's the guy that went down there last week. Senator Chris Van Hollen, if this isn't jackassery, I don't know what is, but Senator Chris Van Hollen, I saw you reach for the button, just brace yourself. He is now admitting, by the way, Daily Wire has the piece, Dateline yesterday. He is now admitting that he did not even ask the question of Kilmer Abrego Garcia as to whether he was an MS-13 member. Didn't bother. Didn't matter. The Democrat who contends that Abrego Garcia is his constituent from the state of Maryland said that what he did find out, though, was that Abrego Garcia is sad and traumatized. I got news, being picked up out of your element and shipped off to your home country you didn't want to be in, probably having your head shaved and stuck in a prison full of other gang members, I'm sure it's traumatizing. I don't care a rat's hind end whether he's sad. But I get it. Sure. I'm sure that is. But you know what, though? He was here illegally, and that he admits. He was on an ICE detainer in 2019, and that he admits. His wife filed for protection from abuse orders with affidavits saying that he beat her in 2021, I think it was. That is on record. That means that's an admission. He also was stopped while on the ICE detainer. Despite the fact that he lived in Maryland, he had a car with seven other illegals in it, none of whom had ID, none of whom had luggage, and all of whom claimed to be using the same address, traveling through Tennessee. They were detained on the notion that there was human trafficking involved and then released to the FBI, who then, under the Biden administration, who promptly dismissed the charges and let it go. This guy should have already been gone.
And has MS-13 tattoos.
And he's got hands full of MS-13. He's got probably a body full of MS, but he's got them all across his knuckles. They're, anyway. So after Van Hollen met with Abrego Garcia, El Salvador's President Nayib Bukele posted photos of the encounter, one photo showing the tattoos on his knuckles. And then the tattoos, by the way, are on one knuckle is a cannabis leaf, another a smiley face, then a cross, and then a skull tattooed across his knuckles. Those are allegedly MS-13 tattoos. I don't know. Here's what I do know. He fit the profile for the deportation order under the Alien Enemies Act, and that's where we sit. The Trump administration said that, I mean, the Supreme Court of the United States did say that these deportations could happen, and then I'll tell you about an update on that just over the weekend. But listen, this Dem senator going down there has been like all the rage. Why? It's because they finally got something they think they can sink their teeth into. We found a thing, one thing, and we think this is wrong, and so that's all they're going to talk about. Did I see that more have gone down there?
Yeah, I was just about to say, so that actually encouraged four representatives to go down there.
Four members of Congress. Let me guess, all Democrats.
Yep, and they landed yesterday. Representative Robert Garcia of California, Maxwell Frost of Florida, Yasemin Ansari of Arizona, and then Maxine Dexter of Oregon all landed yesterday to go down there, demanding to meet Comar Abrego Garcia.
Has there ever been a time outside of war when the Red Cross intervenes? Has there ever been a time when we've seen these exodus of politicians to a foreign country to demand access to someone in the foreign country's prisons that is not an American citizen?
Nope, I don't think so. And it's funny because, like you said, he's not an American citizen. I wish they would show this amount of fervor with their own citizens that are actually American citizens.
The Biden administration left Americans in Afghanistan when they pulled out in 21. The Biden administration left Americans in Russian custody and didn't bother to try and negotiate for their release. The Biden administration has left Americans all over the place.
Yeah.
And yet this one man, Abrego Garcia, oh no, we need to run to El Salvador. He feels sad and traumatized. This is nuts, man. This is jackassery, by the way.
Yes, major jackassery. Which, by the way, I don't know if you saw, but Van Hollen made a claim that the drinks at the table were planted there.
Some are calling this Margaritagate.
Yeah, Margaritagate.
So if you didn't see it, there's two versions of the picture when Garcia looks lovingly. I mean, when Van Hollen looks lovingly at Garcia. In fact, I think it was Charlie Kirk said, find someone who loves you and looks at you the way Van Hollen looks at Garcia. But the bottom line is there's two pictures. The one has been released by the Van Hollen camp, and it has them sitting there with a couple of water glasses on a table at a nice restaurant, you know, and they've got, there's Abrego Garcia looking earnestly at the senator who's reaching across the table like he's got something just deep to say. Then there's the other picture that was released by the President Bukele's administration that shows them sitting at the same table. And oh, by the way, there's empty margarita glasses with salt on the rim and cherries sitting there on the table like they've had a liquid lunch. Got a little sauced.
Yeah.
hey, I know there's not much for you there in the prison. How about we have a few and tie one on before you go back?
It was like a weird date.
It was a weird date. Okay. But there's still things happening. So this absolute mania on the left to impose its will on the idea of stopping mass migration. Keep in mind, it's not working entirely because the border numbers are at epic lows. Like, we haven't seen numbers this low in my lifetime. We're looking at decades-old records being set right now. But when you look at it, you think, okay, but there's more. Because, yeah, we're stopping them from coming in. That's huge. That's triage. That's stopping the bleeding. Stopping the bleeding is important, but when you deal with the wounded person, you still have to not only stop the bleeding, but then treat the wound. So stopping the bleeding is getting the border secure. That's happening, and that's happening quite well. And the Dems can't say boo about it right now. And I'll tell you what, they have thought of some innovative ways to do this, and they are making it happen. And the border is for the most part shut down right now. It's amazing what can happen when leadership actually says, we can do this. But then you look at the other side of the story. The other side of the story is the triage, not just the triage that stops the bleeding, but now caring for the wound, and that's getting the millions of illegals back out of our country who shouldn't be here in the first place, who have no real claim to be here except they just felt like it. And saying I feel like coming there is not the same as saying I'm allowed to be there. They're not here on work visas. They're not here on student visas. They didn't immigrate to the United States. They didn't marry an American abroad. They didn't, no, none of it. They just stepped across the border, swam the Rio Grande, you know, climbed the mountain near San Diego. They just did whatever it took to get here and streamed across in tunnels and everything else. And now they're here. Now we got to fix the wound. We have stopped the bleeding, but now we got to fix the wound. And the left is determined that we should not be allowed to do that. And the American public is just about had it with this. And I think the Democrats better start reading the room, or there's going to be some serious primaries of some Democrats who are going to find that their otherwise blue safe seats are going to be up for grabs. When we come back, I got to tell you about some of the crazy stuff that's happening, because the deportation jackassery, y'all, it's like, it's everywhere. It's not just in D.C. It's not just Senator Chris Van Hollen. Good Lord. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so I'm in Dipper number 2, which is really my biggest Dipper for the day. It's the one that's got the most content and the most to talk about. Deportation jackassery. Brother, you are quick on the trigger today. You got that thing that's like just on ready call right there, don't you?
I do.
Just hair trigger. All right. So I got some stuff that's going to apply to Alabama here in a moment, too, just so you know. You can see it right here in our home states, our listening area. But crazy stuff still happening, all right? We're not done with the problems that we've had, although I do believe the triage on stopping the bleeding at the southern border has been extremely beneficial. But there's still stuff happening. Like this. Pulled this off a Red State. Dateline Saturday. Says last month, I don't know when last month, it doesn't say, but last month in Fremont County, Colorado, which is a mostly rural county, kind of southwest of Colorado Springs, if you know the state, two Fremont County police officers noted a van was passing by without dimming its headlights, and it had a broken taillight or something. They decided to do a traffic stop. And what they found in the van was an eye-opener. They had two Mexican nationals who were here on non-immigrant visas, which means they're not here to stay. They're here to come and go on some kind of business, carrying 180,000 rounds of 30 caliber and 7.62 millimeter rifle ammunition. 180,000 rounds. Y'all, I mean, good Lord. I tell you what, do some math for me. I should have done this during the break, if you wouldn't mind. A basic combat load for a soldier, I believe, is, let's see, hang on a second. Eight magazines. Do eight times, excuse us while we do some math. Do eight times 30. You come to, where are you?
240.
240 rounds. I think 240 rounds is a basic combat load. All right, some of y'all out there are going to correct me. I know you will. All right, do 240 times 48, which is the average size of an infantry platoon.
11,520.
All right, and then divide 180,000 by 11,400 and see what you get.
108,000 by 11,400. That is 15.7894737.
I don't know what you just said to me.
15.
The bottom line is we can outfit 15 platoons is what it sounds like.
Yep.
That's you've got a battalion or more worth of ammunition for a basic combat load. 180,000. Okay, all right, why am I saying all this? Because it's freaking weird. That's why. You got 150 boxes of 308. You got 30 boxes of 7.62. Each box was carrying 1,000 rounds. Y'all, this is a ton of ammo. And they also point out, ain't nobody stops at a firearms and ammunition store and casually purchases 180,000 of ammunition. There's something else going on here. That's right, there is. Two Mexican nationals. You know what? Drug cartels. That's what. You look at it, and you either had something that was happening that was criminal in nature or was related to cartel wars back home. Either way, it's bad. And they probably had to arrange to go around to different places to pick it all up. And it was probably prearranged. I just wonder how they thought they were going to get across the border with it. Surely they're going to break it down and take it in parcel and, you know, who knows? All I know is this. Weird stuff is still happening. That was two Mexican nationals that were here in some status or another doing things. But the jackassery still surrounding all of this. It extends even to our own state. Now, by the way, the Biden administration, I'm pretty sure they would have seen that and called it international trade or commerce and applauded them for buying 180,000 rounds and extolled the ideas of whether it was American-made. Great. But how about 1819 News has a story about one of our most liberal mayors, Montgomery Mayor Stephen Reed. Ah, gee. You'll be proud to know that the mayor of your capital city in Alabama was on Politics Nation with Al Sharpton this weekend. I hold in what?
The second Alabama mayor to go on Al Sharpton without recently.
Yes. the second liberal mayor to go on. Yes. I don't see Tommy Battle. I don't see Sandy Stimson. I don't see, you know, any. I don't see Tony Kennan down in Orange Beach. I don't see any of the, you know, the conservative mayors going on Al Sharpton. Funny how that works.
It is funny how that works.
So I hold in my calloused former paratrooper hands a piece from 1819 News. When I get back from the break, I'm going to tell you what your liberal mayor said about whether or not Montgomery, Alabama, is a sanctuary city. Because, y'all, deportation jackassery, it exists even right here in the red states. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative, just plain right. Welcome to hour number 3 on a Meatloaf Monday. It's the day after Easter. Welcome back. We're glad you're here. And I'm in the middle of talking about what we label as it's part of, by the way, if you're new to Right Side, if perhaps you are on our Auburn station, for instance, or maybe even Chattanooga, and you're not used to some of the lexicon of the show, let me just tell you, we got our own vocabulary. Our peeps are called Right Side Ruffians. We talk about things like jackassery, which has a sound effect. We talk about things like cacistocracy, which is a true word that's labeled as the government run by the least competent of its citizens. We have all kinds of words in the vocabulary around here. Anyway, jackassery, yeah, when you couple that with jackassery is typically, for us on this show, is defined as, you know, official action or statements that really make no sense, and they're so filled up with leftist wokeness that you look at it and go, well, that's just the biggest batch of jackassery I've ever heard. And now we have to deal with it. I'm talking about a deportation jackassery right now. So I hold in my... You tried to hit the button.
I was didn't want to cut you off. Sorry.
I hold in my former calloused paratrooper hands an article from 1819 News. Stephen Reed is the mayor of Montgomery, the capital city of Alabama. Stephen Reed is one of the most liberal mayors in the Southeast, perhaps the nation, which is saying a lot. But you may be curious to know that Stephen Reed found time to go on Al Sharpton's TV show the other day and talk about why it's hard to be a black mayor, especially in this time of deportation. Why that has anything to do with each other, I have no idea. The article points out, Alabama, we did pass, when I was in the legislature, by the way, I was part of this, we passed a law banning sanctuary cities back in 2011. Proud to do it. Proud to do it. I hang my hat on it. Give me some applause. Can I have some applause? Thank you very much. Alabama, I was there in the state Senate. We passed a law banning sanctuary cities. However, we have some cities like Birmingham that decided to try and subvert the process by declaring themselves to be welcoming cities. We're not sanctuary cities. We're just welcoming cities. That, by the way, is jackassery. Thank you very much. We're just full of sound effects now. So the state's progressive mayors here in Alabama, according to 1819, have expressed opposition to Trump's immigration initiatives, and the state is currently trying to bolster the ability of state and local police to assist in immigration enforcement. All right, that's an extension of what we did in 2011 is now being brought to bear in new legislation sponsored by our friend, State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, who was on the show last week to talk about it. It's called the Lake and Riley Act in Alabama, Alabama's Lake and Riley Act, and it does allow for collaborative effort between state and local law enforcement with immigration enforcement authorities that not normally is not normally there. Liberal Mayor Stephen Reed of Montgomery told Al Sharpton he believed that Trump's immigration policies, though, are targeting black mayors specifically. What? What information does he have? Pray tell. Show me the executive order that says, by the way, make sure you enforce this differently against black mayors. That's just absolute jackassery. So, oh my gosh. Okay. So Mayor Reed gave a very non-specific analysis. Here's one of his quotes. He said, it certainly seems there's a much greater spotlight on black mayors across the country. And we know that from history, black mayors being elected in major cities, the scrutiny is always greater for us. Shut up. That is not true. This is the 21st century, man. Own it and walk in it. All right? Listen, when's the last time you saw Clarence Thomas stand up and go, it's hard being a black justice? He's not. You know why? Because he is walking in the authority God gave him. So anyway, he goes on to say, the scrutiny is always greater for us. I think when it comes to immigration, we stand ready to defend our residents. Okay, did you notice, by the way, that what he just said there was, the legal citizens of Montgomery are less important than the illegal citizens of Montgomery. And I should say residents, not citizens. The mayor of the capital city of the state of Alabama, which has laws on the books that ban sanctuary cities, just said that we stand ready to assist or defend, our residents. What does that mean? What he's saying there, hidden language, read between the lines, the mayor of Montgomery believes it's more important for him as the mayor to care for those who are in fear of being deported because that's their fight right now. Their fight is not for you and I. Their fight is not for the legal citizens of this nation. Their fight is not for law and order. Their fight is to make sure that every illegal who is here has the chance to stay here, period, regardless. And then he went on to say this. He said, I think when the threat is out there that they can be deported or someone can be taken off the street, it leads to a breakdown in the type of government and the type of response we all want to provide for our residents and those that are citizens of this country and those who are legal and those who are trying to obtain legal status. What does that have to do with anything? There is no one looking at the legal citizens of this nation saying, yeah, I think we're going to send you off to El Salvador. Yeah, I just feel like, you know, that's enough of you. You're going to Gitmo. That's not happening. That's not going to happen. You know why? Because Abrego Garcia was taken up under the auspices of the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. He was deemed to be a threat to society because of his affiliation with what has been branded a terrorist organization, MS-13, along with Tren de Aragua, along with several of the drug cartels, along with ISIS and Al-Qaeda. They have been branded as non-state terror entities and therefore subject to the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. And the mayor of Montgomery doesn't know what to do with that because he is wallowing right now in deportation jackassery. I got other pieces here. Like, here's a big old batch of it when you look at things. I'm just going to skim by these stories. Red State has an article that came out Saturday about a New Mexico judge. A New Mexico judge who had to resign after the Department of Homeland Security found that he had a Tren de Aragua member living at his house. He's a judge. He's a judge. And oh, by the way, the reason why they found out is because he and his family were at the gun range with this illegal alien Tren de Aragua guy. Having big time with firearms. So,
wow.
Yeah. Then you got Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs. According to LifeSet, Dateline Today, Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs has now vetoed a Senate bill which would have required state and local law enforcement to cooperate with federal immigration. So this is their version of exactly what Alabama's in the process of doing. Alabama is hopefully about to do final passage of the Lake and Riley Act here in Alabama that put state and local in the ability to coordinate direct on immigration enforcement. Arizona passed the bill, and she vetoed it. The Republican-backed bill passed through the Arizona legislature, where the GOP has a two-thirds majority in both chambers. The veto sets up the potential for a legislative override, which would require support from the same two-thirds majority. I think they will. I think they'll override it and put it into law over her veto. But that's happening because that's Katie Hobbs, and she's all about the deportation jackassery. But one more big piece of deportation jackassery that you and I are having to deal with. So I'll be honest with you, this is going to be a mixed bag of discussion here. I do not like this Real ID. It ticks me off. I don't know about y'all, but the idea that I have to get a little star put on my driver's license so I'm allowed to fly in my own country kind of pisses me off. I am a U.S. citizen. I had 30 years of military service. I went to war twice. I had a top secret security clearance. I still carry a military retirement card. I have been a citizen all my life. And now to be allowed to travel in my own country, I have to go and do more to prove my citizenship than any illegal alien has had to do for years. Illegals come here and do whatever they want, and they run through a black market economy, and they send their money home. And we all do all the things to jump through hoops to be allowed to get on a plane just to fly from one part of our own country to another. And I'll be honest with you, that really chaps the libertarian side of me. That feels like big government. Here's the interesting thing. It was passed, the Real ID Act was actually passed in 2005 in the wake of 9/11. It was passed in 2005. And has not been enforced up until now. Why? Well, in part because of people like me in Congress who were saying, this is wrong. And others in Congress who are saying, we don't want to do this because, you know, it might mess with the illegal aliens. It's been a balancing act. Here's the thing. Fox News has a piece that came out today. And to me, This is a batch of deportation jackassery. You've got. Thank you very much. You are earning all the points today. Americans are going to have to obtain their real ID. The Trump administration is intent on enforcing it. We have to do this by May 7th. I haven't done it yet. It pisses me off. But here's the thing. Only a legal U.S. citizen or resident can obtain the STAR ID. What they're saying is, this is the way they're going to enforce the ability for illegals to not be able to travel around the country freely. This is something that is going to be able to help set aside whether or not we have an illegal with a driver's license in our midst. I shouldn't have to go and get special ID just because millions were allowed in during the Biden administration. But that's where we're headed right now, and it ticks me off. The move to enforce real IDs at the national level for domestic air travel, says Fox News, comes after 19 states and Washington, D.C. all put laws on the books that allow illegal immigrants to obtain driver's licenses. Right now, a driver's license is all that is necessary to get on a plane, to buy a ticket and get on a plane, to fly domestically. That's about to change. So you got states like California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, and Washington, D.C., all giving illegals photo ID driver's licenses. The Trump administration is now saying it's in a position where it's going to have to enforce the Real ID Act and not delay it any further unless Congress gets involved. It was revealed in a memo last week from the Department of Homeland Security that real ID requirements will further crack down on illegal aliens and that real ID law is now going to be enforced in order to prevent those in the country illegally from flying from one part to the other unless they are looking to self-deport on an international flight. Still, that's just maddening. That is just absolutely deportation jackassery. And I now have to go to extreme lengths to take time away from work and find all the documentation necessary to take with me to go down there to prove what's always been known. And that, you know, if I want to do business in Washington, D.C., or if I want to fly out to California, or if I want to take Charlene on a trip somewhere domestically, I have to have a special ID card. Show me your papers. That's where we are. I said before, and this bugs me too, I said before that I could see that the illegal immigration crisis that we went through is a part of what could bring about the mark of the beast. And I said it not so tongue-in-cheek. I said it as, here's how we know if you're really supposed to be here. You'll have this chip under your skin, and it'll take care of everything.
So now we have to pay for the government screw-up.
Enter the real ID.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. When we get back from this break, I'll wrap this up. I'm going to tell you about what Justice Samuel Alito said about the Supreme Court not really working well with the Trump administration on the issue of deportation jackassery. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're finishing up deportation jackassery. So one of the things that just happened over the weekend, and I believe that the press is way overplaying it. They're trying to say something happened that is bigger than what it is, but the fact that something happened at all is still irritating. So the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, which is the thing that got this Brega Garcia guy down to El Salvador, which got you know, hundreds of MS-13 and Tren de Aragua guys off the streets. Maybe thousands now that I said that. A decision was rendered by the Supreme Court over the weekend. That's very rare. It was an emergency decision. It was a 7-2 decision, which is pretty solid. The only two who dissented from it were Justices Alito and Thomas. Justice Alito issued a scathing review of it. But the liberal media, like I said, is going to go all in. Here's the deal. What did they do? Well, they stopped the Trump administration from deporting a batch of Tren de Aragua members back to El Salvador or down to El Salvador. Why? because allegedly they were not given enough notice to be able to challenge their deportation. Interesting. So what we're finding right now is the Supreme Court issued a midnight stay of the deportation of Venezuelan criminals who were being held in a detention center in Texas, saying that in order to deport them, the Trump administration had to give them adequate notice and the ability to defend their status. How many of them will be able to defend it? How many of them will be able to actually stand up and go, I'm not here illegally, and those tattoos on my face are not saying MS-13, even though I know they do. Well, the decision was reached early Saturday morning. Justice Alito was livid. He wrote a dissent that was published, and he said, "The court issued unprecedented and legally questionable relief without giving the lower courts even a chance to rule, without hearing from the opposing party," that's the Trump administration, "within 8 hours of receiving the application, with dubious factual support, and without providing any explanation for the order." And he said, "I refuse to join the court's order because we had no good reason to think that under the circumstances, a midnight order was even necessary or appropriate." That is harsh words right there from a Supreme Court justice. The bottom line is this. They did not say Trump can't deport under the Alien Enemies Act. What they said is Trump has to allow for an opportunity for a hearing. So now what we're going to be looking at is potentially every one of these Trinidad, Aragua, and MS-13 members, you better start self-deporting or you're going to sit in Gitmo and rot until we can do a hearing and get you out of here. And I guarantee you, if you want a job right now as a hearing administrator or an immigration judge, raise your hand because they're probably taking volunteers to expedite that process. All right, so enough of that. I got a ton of text messages, 833-687-4448. Text it in, call it in, tell me what you think. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.